Womandla on cliffcentral.com.
Yep, it is Womandla. It's 7 minutes past 10. Or any time that you're listening to it, because we're on Cliff Central and we're not just about listening live. We give you the choice to listen whenever you want to listen. I'm Phumi Mashego. And so if you're listening to this thing live, today is the day before Youth Day. And it's one of those things, women. So Youth Day is one of those things that in South Africa, for us, it is every year. Youth Month, June, is a big, big thing. And I thought, hey, I'm going to start the show with a Steve Biko quote. Everybody's favorite. I write what I like. I think we've put together a really nice little show that is self-reflective. It's 40 years this year, 40 years this year since that fateful day in 1976. What does that really mean? It means that if you were 16 years old, then you're 56 this year. If Hector Peterson had never been killed, he'd be 48 this year. So it has been a really long time, but it's still very fresh in our minds and very fresh in our memories. I think that the Steve Biko quote that I'm sharing with you is one that resonates very deeply with me. And he wrote, "It becomes more necessary to see the truth as it is if you realize that the only vehicle for change are these people who have lost their personality. The first step, therefore, is to make the black man come to himself, to pump back life into his empty shell, to infuse him with pride and dignity." Pride and dignity. And I think it probably resonates so much more today in 2016 in South Africa, because this is the thing that we're always talking about. We're grappling with this more than ever in the history of the new South Africa, in parentheses. But the issues of image and reflecting awesome blackness to young children is one that always rears its ugly head here in South Africa. Mothers can't seem to even find dolls that are beautiful and black, and then lets them not get started on that famous other fashion doll that's almost 60 years old that every girl must have. I have my own stories of wanting that doll very, very much. And also growing up at a time when every doll was white. Baby dolls, every doll you ever played with was white. So if you're a mother to a young girl and you're looking to give her more than just the run-of-the-mill what's out there on the shelves, look no further, because the fabulous Marlaville range of fashion dolls, which are actually homegrown right here in Cape Town, can be your salvation. Marla Bryan is the creator and owner of the brand, and I caught up with her yesterday because she was out here in Johannesburg. She's based in Cape Town, but she was up here, and hopefully in the next couple of months we will see these dolls coming to Johannesburg too. This is my interview that I had with her. A few short chats. Black fashion dolls. Awesome black fashion dolls. Welcome. And thank you so much for taking the time out of like running around. And I hope you did all the deals that you were out here to do out in Joburg. But I must tell you that when I got the press release, I was so excited. I was so excited because I love dolls.
Oh, you're just like me then. I'm a doll collector.
Are you a doll collector?
Yes, that's what started the obsession.
Tell me about that. So you are very beautiful. Do you have a doll that's like made like you?
So we have a Marla doll, yes. I am a fashion model. That is my number one job, a model. And I would say number two would be doll designer and creator.
Doll design and so you're not all legs. When I walked in, the first thing I saw were those gorgeous legs. So now it all makes sense. You're also a model. Jeez. I don't know, girl. I don't think I like you so much
anymore.
You're
making me blush now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, only on Womandla and on Cliff Central, Black Girls That Blush. So Marlaville, tell me how does a black girl like you get like going with doll collecting?
I grew up in the Caribbean island of St. Lucia, and I was sort of like an only child growing up in the house, and I had my dolls to keep me company. They were all Barbies. I'm still obsessed with them. They were all white. I didn't have a problem with that growing up. But when I got around like age 18, I felt something was missing. Like I used to dream of this little girl crying to come out to play. And I just felt like, well, you know, maybe it's the little girl in me wanting to come out to play. And what it is that I loved doing as a little girl was playing with dolls. So I started collecting dolls again. And I stopped, and I started about 7 years ago. And in my search, I developed and created Marleville. So Marleville is like, you know, what I call my imagination. That's my creative space. I love creating things. I make jewelry. I make wigs. I do all sorts of things. I sew.
Do you sew all these outfits? They are so cute. I'm looking at these. I'm like,
we were at the Cosmo Jeans show, so they all had to have their denim outfits. That's what happened. That's why they're all wearing denim right now. They had to represent.
Oh, wow. So is Marleville only the dolls for now? Is it growing into like a whole? Is it going to be in the same way that Mattel created an entire existence for their flagship doll, Ooh. Who shall go unnamed?
Yes, that's right. So Marleville, actually now I've actually made a line of kids clothing, and and you have like the dolly clothing that goes with it. And I make a few adult clothing as well, but I'm not going to put that under the Marleville brand. I'm going to keep Marleville for the children.
So how long has Marleville been alive?
6 months.
Wow.
We're a baby.
It's amazing. So you're based here in South Africa?
Yes, in Cape Town.
In Cape Town.
Yes.
And how do people get hold of Marla Toys?
So we have two restaurants, Carney on Cliff Street and Carney Kieram Street. My website, www.marlavilletoys.com. So you can go on there and shoot us a message, and email addresses are all on there. So if you're in Cape Town and you're lost, you can always come through the showroom, because we have a little showroom as well. I'm Queen Victoria 54, and just come by.
So that's a new business that is nothing like what you do in your everyday life. What has that journey been like?
It's been amazing. It's with my modeling career, I had a very difficult time as a black girl with natural hair, and I had to relax my hair to be accepted by clients, to be able to work and to be able to actually make money and a living. And I, at some point, like a couple of years later, I cut the hair off again, and it didn't work. They weren't ready for the natural hair movement that was happening overseas. And at the time, I was already based here in Cape Town. And so I relaxed again. And all that time with my dolls, I was searching for dolls with natural hair. Not for me, but for my collection, because I have a little dolly world. And I realized that a lot of parents must be going through the same problem with their children with natural hair. And so then I just took it upon myself to give it a shot. You know, why don't I make, you know, beautiful brown tone dolls with natural hair and brown eyes? That was very important
for me. And brown eyes.
Yes, that was actually very, very important, because a lot of us don't even realize that a lot of who shall go unnamed. a lot of, you know, unrealistic eye colors and things like that. And for me as an adult, you know, I'm grown, I can do what it is that I want. But I just started thinking, like, as a child, you know, how would that affect me? And in this day and age, children are different. Children are very aware of what it is that, you know, the skin that they're in.
And who they are.
And who they are, yes. Before, I'm not saying that we didn't know before, but nowadays parents are teaching their kids a lot more.
We didn't care about it as much.
We did not.
Back then.
No,
hey.
We didn't. As fun, it's weird. And now, for some reason, you know, they know. They know so much. And I just felt like it was needed now, you know, to come out where they can have a doll to represent them. You know, beautiful, not much makeup. But just the most important was the hair texture. Like, you get this beautiful kinky, rough, they call it rough texture, but it's beautiful.
Tell me where you make the dolls made. Because when I first read about it, and I thought to myself, how does one even start like making a doll? Where do you go? Do you have to go to China
yep.
and buy like batch made dolls? And will they like meet with you? And will the dolls have... And will it have a nose? Will it have a button nose? Will it just be dipped in like Coloring.
Yeah.
So tell me about the process of getting the doll itself made.
Well, you got 50% of it correct. I went to China.
Really? Yeah.
So I went to China. I got my manufacturer. So basically, they're called fashion dolls, and that's like the fashion doll mold. It's 11.5 inches. And most fashion dolls you will get are the same size. And then I had to come up with the formula for the colors that it is that I wanted. And then I had to get the hair texture, the hair color. That was all my combinations, the eye colors that I wanted as well.
So what does that look like? Do you sit it's in an scary. Office? Do you sit in an office with the little Chinese guy with the computer?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. And draw the eye shape that I want and where I want the speckle in the eye because I pay a lot of attention to detail. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah, because it shows you, like, you know, then the doll looks like, you know, it has an emotion and it needs to be beautiful emotion.
So how are you talking to the Chinese guy? Do you have like your own translator?
No, it's weird because I actually have my how I speak English. But oh my God, sometimes I look at the way I write emails and I'm embarrassed to share it with my friends. Because they're like, okay, Marla, who wrote this? I'm like, it's me, but that's me speaking English to Chinese people. It's quite interesting. It's a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of back and forth. It's months.
So when you say that Marlaville has been alive for 6 months, it's actually been alive for a lot longer because that's only when the doll got to the shop.
Yes.
What was the process? How long was the process before?
7 months.
Okay, so that's from concept.
Okay, from concept, let's say about 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I sat on it because there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear because a lot of people that I spoke to told me that, you know, I'm going to be competing against XYZ. And it did put a lot of fear in me.
How did you get over that fear?
Because I saw the need for it. And I saw there were quite a few companies that came out, but they were not reaching this because I'm an adult collector. So I know what other adult collectors want and what they're looking for. And I love quality and I love, you know, the toys need to be safe. And I know a lot of people don't go through that process. It's some people do just go to China, buy a batch of dolls and come back and repackage and package them and sell them. And they would sell because there's a need for black dolls. But for me, it's like, first of all, we don't come in one skin tone and we do not come in just one texture.
Hala.
So it's like, okay, we need to, you know, we need to differentiate. So they all have their own little personalities. They all have, you know, different skin tones. And I just want to, you know, just want to maintain that. I use the same face mold because it would have taken a long time to create my second mold, which I actually have already. Thank you. It took 3 months. And it takes a lot of money as well that I just wasn't ready to spend at the time. So now, you know, there was a little bit of profit that came in and I was just able to, you know, reinvest already quite early.
Profit. Well done.
Yeah, quite early, but well, I can, maybe I'm.
Did you finance it all yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I have a backer, but most of it, yeah.
Do you have a backer or a blesser? Just joking.
one of the things I say is like, you know, if you have a dream and you're very passionate about it, it's easy to sell it. It's easy to sell the idea and to get the help. But I'm the kind of person where I'm very scared of getting help because I'm always worried about what people will say. So it was great to be able to get some help, but it's also a great feeling to be able to do it yourself as well. So that is why I had to compromise quite a lot of my design, or I would say the launch that I wanted. Like, they all have the same face, but I'm like, it's okay because the next one, that means there's growth for Marlaville. And the other face, she's so beautiful. I'm going to show you a picture later. She's gorgeous. And also the next collection is going to be such a beautiful collection. One I'm not going to show you because I would love to come back to tell you about her.
You must come back to tell yes. me about, and yeah. Expanding to Joburg.
I am looking for a place to have the dolls in Johannesburg because it needs to be all over Africa and the dolls are here in South Africa and I don't just want them to, in Cape Town. I actually want to do a lot of charity work with my dolls. I would love them to be in the hands of a lot of, you know, the less fortunate children who are not able to afford dolls. And it would be great to have them have, you know, dolls that they can relate to.
So as an adult collector, you're willing to spend significantly more for your dolls. But as a parent, and I say this as a parent to a boy who breaks everything, everything. You buy any toy, 3 days in, he's taking it apart because he wants to see the inside.
He's curious.
I've gotten over that. But as a parent, you're very cognizant of what you're spending. And also because the guys outgrow it. You know, the kids outgrow the dolls. And on very special occasions, will they have an attachment so deep and profound that that doll lasts an entire childhood.
Yeah.
So what do you retail your dolls at?
Right now, they're currently being retailed at 300 Rand.
Oh, that's a good price.
It is a very good price, but it's going to go up because I did not do my calculating properly. I know. I will try to have one or two that stays at that price. But I've been in meetings the past couple of days just discussing that, because my belief is that a lot of parents need to have access to reasonably priced black dolls. And I don't like the fact that sometimes when black dolls are in the market, they're usually more expensive. And that makes me very uncomfortable. And I do not want to be, you know, another one that comes in to do that. So I'm working very, very, very hard to try to keep that price down. But also because like the hair alone cost more. I don't know if you feel the doll, and you
it's
know,
heavy.
She's heavy, and the quality, and the testing, and to make
just
sure.
This is not even just the joints.
Yeah.
When I saw the doll, and being a person who played a lot with dolls for a very long time, when I saw the joints, I was like, this is not going to fall apart very quickly. The texture of the plastic is quite, you know,
solid.
It's a solid plastic. Yeah. So it's not one of those hollow dolls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That you find in the hood where we grow up.
Yeah.
And just everything about it. So when you said 300 rands, it sounds to me like a reasonable price. Yeah. I remember begging my mother when I was 8 or 10, begging my mother for a doll, and a particular doll. And I remember that it probably cost about that much money even then.
Then, yeah.
You know, so I can imagine what it costs now. I haven't looked at it.
It costs a lot more, and really and truly, I am on the losing end as of now. So when I spoke about profits earlier, because, you know, it's for me, okay, I make money, you know, in, you know, other places. So I'm investing in a dream, and that's just how I see it. And the dream is just more than just having dolls on a shelf. I need people to have them. I need the right people to have them. I need them to be in the hands of, you know, children who will not have self-hate issues, and who will not love their, you know, brown, dark skin and their kinky, curly hair, because people say it doesn't look good. You know, I want them to look at this beautiful doll that I created. And for one second, actually I've done well, and they're so beautiful. And I would love the children to look at these dolls and see how, you know, like how that they can relate to it and see that, you know, I'm beautiful just like that doll.
Tell me how you chose South Africa.
Oh, South Africa. South Africa chose me. Actually, my agent sent me here. My agent sent me here 9 years ago to build my book. So basically, South Africa is a great place for models of color to come to build their books. And I did very well here. And I just started coming back, you know, over and over, because I got just very good reception here. And Cape Town, especially. Cape Town's beautiful. And as a black model, it's very, very hard for us out there. And here it was a little easier. And it's just, I think I had just gotten to the point where I wasn't retiring, but I was kind of like, oh God, do I really want to be fighting all the time? It's like, you know, when I was in New York, it's almost every morning your agent would be like, well, you know, it's kind of hard for black girls. And to hear that like three times a week, gets tiring. And it was just great to be in a place where you just didn't have to hear that too often. And so I'm still based in Miami. Also Miami because I have a bit of boobs.
I can't tell under that jacket.
It's cold. Johannesburg is so, my God, it's freezing here.
I hope you take your cold, rainy weather with you when you get on that flight to go to Cape Town.
It is fine. We will take it and we will turn it into beautiful sunshine. Sorry I couldn't bring the sun up with us. And it's, you know, as a model, you have to travel places where you're accepted. And that you don't have to fight. And Cape Town just became one of the places that I'm just so always inspired, and it's just a very inspiring place. And when I'm there, I just feel so creative. There's just a lot of stuff and lots of creative juices flowing in Cape Town. So it was just good to just be there.
And back home in St. Lucia?
St. Lucia. Oh my God. My heart. St. Lucia. I go home. I was just home in February, March. I'm going to go home in a couple of weeks. I go home at least 3 or 4 times.
You still have lots of family there.
Lots of family there. My mom lives on another island, St. Martin, where I used to live as well.
Has your mom seen the dolls?
Yes.
And?
My mom is more proud of the dolls than my modeling career. I know.
Why? Have you ever asked her why?
She says, well, God, that's another mommy issue. Girl, you know we all have them.
Aren't all dolls. Deep down, aren't all dolls about mommy issues?
That is so true.
Is that not what we're trying to resolve?
But you know, she, my mom is the one that helped me with my my obsession with my dolls. She's the one that bought all my dolls for me. And but it could be because she saw, you know, how much I love them, and her being away, because I was raised by my dad and his parents, and well, my mom's parents as well. But so it was a back and forth thing. But she just spoiled me with dolls. So it's her fault. It's her fault that I love dolls. So when the dolls came out, it was just, oh my God. I think also she felt like she had her baby girl again. That's the feeling that I'm getting. I don't know. I might be seeing it wrong, but I just think she was just happy to know that her little girl is playing with dolls again. And she already said that she can see that will be the closest thing she's going to get to grandchildren.
Well, I was going to ask you, if you're busy playing with the dolls, when is the mummy bug going to hit?
It always hits.
You know, the mummy bug fucks your modeling career, right?
It comes and it goes. Are you allowed to say that?
I'm allowed to say whatever. This is Cliff Central.
Oh my God. Dang it, I could have said something ever since, but no. It comes and goes, but it's like, you know, the dolls have to be taken care of and the company has to be taken care of. And it is something that I'm in love with my dolls, like, so much. Like, sometimes I have to take a step back and be like, really, Mala? And there is plastic, seriously.
Mala, but tell me, on the journey, also as an entrepreneur, the journey of being an entrepreneur is one that has a lot of self-discovery. And you've chosen something that's particularly poignant in that it not only talks about the childhood that you've had or wanted to have or want to relive, but also the childhood that you would like other young girls like yourself to have. In this journey over the past 13 years, what have you learned most deeply about yourself in the process?
I would say it has really cemented the fact that what you visualize materialize. Where the dolls were a vision and they're now here, but also I use the dolls to help me visualize anything that I want in my life, actually. So I would say, okay, this is my Mala doll, and my Mala doll, you're gonna do this, and I do it, everything in small scale. So when I see her with it, you know, the vision, it's almost like having a vision board.
Wow.
But it's like I'm playing with it. So that is one of the things that I would say that journey actually helped me with. And also it made me realize how much love I have in my heart, because there are times when you think that, oh God, I can be so cold, but there are sometimes when I look at the dolls, I just cry because, you know, I just know there's just so much more that, and there's so much that they will do. They are going to change lives. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can do that very, very soon. But I get emails from parents and the reactions that I see from the children and everything. They're working their magic. Black girl magic.
Black girl magic. Hashtag, it's out there.
Yeah, it's working.
And one last question before I let you go, because I really don't want you to miss your flight, especially since you promised to take the bad weather with you.
And I promise to come back.
Please, you please, you have to come back. You spoke about the fear that stopped you for a long time. Are you still scared?
Sometimes. Sometimes I wake up at like 4 a.m., like just shaking for no reason, but I know it's because of that. Honestly, no, because I tell myself, and one of the things, like, you know, I'm a very strong and powerful and persistent woman, and I just maintain that, and I feel it.
It's called Womandla. Say it with me. Womandla. I'm telling you.
It's called Womandla. I have to get my clicking thing going.
Mala, you're beautiful.
Thank you very much.
And this is an incredible job that you're doing. I'm so glad you found the time for me. I'm so happy. And I think you're going to do amazing things with these dolls too.
Thank you very much. And with your help, I know I can.
I want to see you here again with the new face.
Oh my God, you're going to die when you see them. You're going to be floored. I promise you.
Oh, love it. And not only am I happy to report that she did take the bad weather with her yesterday, but that new face is amazing. She showed it to us before she left. That was the beautiful Marla Bryan talking about the awesome dolls that she makes, Marlaville. And short break, and then we're going to talk about reading to our kids and speaking vernacular and reading vernacular stories or mother tongue stories.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Today, an alien ship attacked Earth.
Should we be nervous? Yeah.
Let's show them Earth is not for the taking. Because I guess they didn't get the message the first time.
Definitely bigger than the last one.
In cinemas, 24 June, experience Independence Day Resurgence in Stair Kinecor's IMAX 3D and at New Metro in Scene Extreme and 4DX.
This is CliffCentral.com.
So on the line, I've got Mr. Lucky Sithole from... Oh, I've got so many things happening here at the same time. From Nalibali, which I discovered about a year ago on a billboard, driving a Soweto, as I often do, going to see my grandmother. I see this big billboard and it says Nalibali. First, I'm like, oh, what is that? Nalibali, this is crazy. But, you know, we know the statistics about South Africa and children and reading, and we know how good that it is to read to our children, even though we don't have the time, even though we try so hard and probably don't do as much as we should be doing. But one of the things that is also very important for me is just speaking the mother tongue, speaking our vernacular languages to our children and getting them to learn our vernacular languages. Through my journey with Kanego, I've come to learn that children don't learn language from their parents. They learn language from everything around them. They learn language from the people that they speak to every day. They learn language from what you expose them to. So how excited I was to discover this website, to discover all the different things that they've got on there. And they also distribute. I don't buy newspapers. I've got to say, I don't buy newspapers. So I don't see the material that they distribute in the newspapers. But the website is amazing. And I was particularly overjoyed when, like you said, he'll speak to me this morning. Good morning, Lucky, and thank you for reshuffling your life to chat with me.
Thank you very much, Pumi. It's a pleasure.
I do love the site, and when I was speaking to you earlier, I told you about all of the little things that I think it adds. But tell me the story of where it started. Where does this organization come from? It's 2 years old, right?
Sorry?
Is it 2 years old?
Yes, we're 4 years old. We've just recently actually just celebrated our four-year anniversary on the 1st of July, which coincidentally happened to be the start of Youth Month.
Children's Day!
Yes, so everything is, the stars are aligned.
The stars are aligned.
Yes.
So where did it start? Where did it all start, Nali Bali?
Nali Bali was a need, basically, that arose from the old organization, well, the recent organization. It's still in existence, which is called PRISA. PRISA is responsible for a multilingual society where they basically they put together materials for all languages and they translate. And their ethos, basically, is to make sure that everybody can get material to read in their own mother tongue. As an offshoot, Nali Bali was born because we realized that this could also bridge a gap in the youth where we could create, because most of the material that we do get as the youth is through school. So we have to learn because we're going to be assessed at a later stage. But then there's no culture of reading because you enjoy reading. So as an offshoot, Nali Bali was born to say we have to actually make sure that children are reading from an early age to foster the habit of just reading for enjoyment.
Look, reading for enjoyment is a thing, but also there are so many things that compete for children's attention.
I mean,
it's not just TV, it's friends, it's
phones.
PlayStation, it's phones, it's the internet. There's so many things that compete for the attention of children. So what would you suggest for parents who want to read with their kids, who maybe are struggling to get that time? I know the statistic says if you read for 15 minutes with your child every day.
Yes.
15 minutes every day? A lot of parents have that kind of time. What else can parents do?
What we found, Pumi, is that everything that you just mentioned that is competing for the child's attention costs money. And there are a lot of things that, unfortunately, there are a lot of South African parents who can't afford to buy those expensive gifts or those expensive phones for their children. And there's one thing, going back to basics, that you could always do with your child, which is reading. And you could read with your child in the kitchen while you're cooking. They could read the recipe for you as you're going along cooking. You could teach them. There's a lot of time that you can spend your children reading. There's a lot of activity that we do in the house that requires them to read to you or you to read to them. So it doesn't cost money. It doesn't actually really take a lot of time. You can always do it in bouts of 3 minutes or three seconds. It just also means that you're spending a lot of time with your child, because we're in a culture of where we send our children away for other people to then tend to them. And when they come back, we still feel that there's some regimented routine. Whereas if you are reading to your child for enjoyment, it becomes a habit for them and it helps them in the long run. When they grow older, they go to high school, it's a culture that they've grown up with. When they go to varsity, it becomes something easy. You read to learn and learn to read.
And, you know, a lot of parents themselves don't find reading a very pleasurable experience. You know, some parents haven't read since they left varsity or high school or whatever. And because it's just one of those things, you know, reading is also just one of those things that you get into early on. The materials that you have on your site. So you've got stories that are actually read for the kids, and you've got play stories. Is that what it's called? Play stories on the site.
Yes.
How can a person be using? So the website is Nalibali.
.org.
Not .co.za. .org. Girls. How can you optimally use the materials on the site to grow the love of stories for your children?
That's a great question for me. There's also an extensive network of literacy mentors that we've got in 7 provinces. We've got an extensive network also in Gauteng, in the Western Cape. We're launching soon in Bloemfontein. We've also got Belcom, but we're launching extensively in Bloemfontein and KZN. The website will equip you, but there's also a human being in your area that you can get in touch with who's our literacy mentor to say to them, listen, I would like some assistance. This is what my life looks like. This is what I'd like to do, or this is what I'd like to get into the habit of doing. So those literacy mentors are a reading club away. And also what another thing that Africans don't realize is that we do have people that are already doing this. You don't necessarily need to start a reading club, or you need to then do what the others are doing.
How does one find it? How do you find? Because I didn't even know there were reading clubs, and I was just on the website looking through all the stuff. So how does one find the reading clubs and get connected into a reading club or plugged into it?
If you call our call center, the number is 02-11-804080.
Like, you know that number, ne? When I saw it, I wondered, Uguti, is there a digit missing here? Please read it again.
It's 02-11-804080. The reason why we put it that way, it's easier to memorize. You can actually sing it. Because everything that we do is for memory.
Are you going to sing it for us right now?
Not today. Not today.
I can't believe you. Can't believe. This is your moment. You could be discovered out here.
I know, right? So what we do is we've got a call center, we've got a website, we've got a literacy mentor. We've got you covered in all aspects if you really, really want to either find out how do I get my child engaged. How you find out about our reading clubs is through our website, or you can find out a literacy mentor in your area, and they will tell you if there's a person already activated with a reading club that you can either take your child to, where you can volunteer, because we've just recently launched a program called the Funda Leader Program.
Tell me about Funda Leaders.
We find there are a lot of people who would like to get involved. They don't have the time, or it's a mixture of issues that they have, or they don't have the space to do to get involved. But the Funda Leader Program is to bridge that problem, where we've got all these people that are interested. We're saying, what can you do? So the person comes and says, well, I can provide a snack because my company provides these things. I can always provide a snack for the reading club. That's volunteerism. Somebody might come and say, I've got a space in my garage. You can bring the kids every Saturday from 1 to 2. That's volunteering to be a Funda leader. Some people might say that I've got books that I'd like to donate. Everyone can be a Funda leader. There's always something you could do to get involved, not necessarily having to start a reading club that will take up a lot of your time. And also one thing we must note is that half these activities are not hour-long activities. If you want to engage the children for an hour, that's great. But you must also realize that the concentration span of a child is very limited.
So do
activities that will stay memorable and leave them wanting more. So these are also techniques that we've got on our website. These are techniques that our Funda leaders will then impart to you. And you can also get training if you sign up as a Funda leader to then be able to then learn these techniques and learn the basics of how to then get involved without necessarily putting yourself out with time, because I know time is a very valuable commodity.
Like at the risk of exposing myself in my age, when I was little, we used to listen, and I was actually talking about this a couple of days ago with this guy that I work with. We used to listen with my grandmother to stories on the radio. So Radio Zulu at the time would have kind of mid-morning.
Yeah.
It would have these stories, and it would be la 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 di wangan bab. And when I heard that, the audio stories that you've got on the site, I was just like, wow, this is so amazing.
It basically takes you back as an adult.
Completely took
those
me
are
back.
Treasured memories. Those are treasured memories. I remember them at the risk of exposing my age. I remember them very well. So we've got audio stories that are available for parents that don't necessarily have the time to listen to them at the time that we broadcast them. We have a partnership with SABC Radio
When? Tell me immediately right now.
Well, SABC, all the 13 radio stations broadcast our stories. We've got an extensive relationship with them where they broadcast our stories. Unfortunately, I don't have the different ones because they all have different schedules. But I could get that information to you. It's also available on our website. It will tell you when the story will be broadcast on your radio station. So you can check on the audio stories, which you can also download for your children to listen to. That is an activity. It doesn't need to be reading. It's storytelling, reading, and listening to some of our stories. That's what we say.
Lucky, I'm going to offline this conversation because I want us to do something with you on these stories. I love the fact that at the moment you've got six languages. You've got Afrikaans, English, Zulu, Xhosa, Sesotho, and Sepedi. Are you going to expand to all 11 languages, or is that your capacity right now?
With the help of Pricer, that's the one thing that we do. We constantly, if we find there's a need, if we find there's an attention, there's a request for us to then extend, because you must understand that it costs quite a lot for us to then translate, print, and distribute, or if there's a need for in an area. Now that we're expanding to KwaZulu-Natal, to Bloemfontein, to all the other regions, with our network and the funding that we're receiving, it is quite important that we cover all 11 languages because there's a need. Our campaign is not limited to only the 11 languages, by the way. We also cover other languages. If it means that we're needed in Mozambique, that's where we go. If it means we translate in Portuguese, that's where we go. But obviously, if we've got the funding, that's something that will happen.
Oh, my goodness. This is so exciting. This is absolutely so exciting.
I think you're a perfect candidate to be a Funda leader. So feel free to log into our website and sign yourself up.
Because one of the things that, as I was listening to the stories and kind of thinking about all of the awesome things that I could do with my son, I also thought, look, selfishly, I want to do the Zulu stuff because of mother tongue. I'm not going to get started about the mother tongue conversation here. That's a whole other discussion for a whole other day.
Sure.
But I thought how amazing this would be also for children who speak other mother tongues, learning a particular language. So in my son's class, for instance, they are learning Zulu and have been, I don't know, for however long. How magnificent it would be to have all of those boys learning through these portals. I'm totally sharing it on the mother's WhatsApp group.
I think it's being a Funda leader is exactly that. And you saying exactly what you've just said now is that's being a Funda leader, starting a WhatsApp group, saying to the mothers, listen, I've got material for the kids to read. Can we just dedicate 30 seconds of our time every day? Let them discuss the story at school at some point. Let them. It's not a testing. It's reading for enjoyment.
Mm.
Kids constantly need to be enjoying themselves because you're fostering a habit of reading because you want to, not because you're going to be tested. They get a lot of that at school. So let them then choose for themselves that on a trip away, when we're going on holiday, I'll take some books. I don't want to be watching a movie. When you wait, when you're going to the shop, do you want to take your books with you? I'm going to do grocery shopping. Those are the sort of things that we're saying. A lot of us other parents are doing that, but obviously it shouldn't be seen as something that is elitist. We've got material. We've got supplements that we send out to everyone.
Elitist, I love it.
Yes, everyone can do it. Anyone can be a Funda leader, really.
Lucky, if listening to the show today, remind us again, what is the website? How do people get in contact with you and find out where you are in their area? Are you only, because when I was looking at your statistics, and like I said to you, when I saw the billboard, I saw it in Meadowlands. I'm driving in the hood. I'm just like, oh, Nali Wabali, I'm just like, oh, okay. So this is aimed at me, black person, because it's in the township. But I'm thinking, actually, this shouldn't be aimed at a particular group of people. It should be aimed at all South Africans.
Definitely.
And that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think all South Africans can benefit from learning each other's languages and knowing about each other. So tell me how you source the stories.
We still work with Pricer. We work with a lot of authors that are that write in different languages. We commission stories that are according to the research we get from Pricer, the age groups and what's the recent research on how children learn. Pricer is a very strong arm or assistance in how we then go forward in how children learn, because they do the research. We just implement on the ground as Nali Wabali on what they've given us as research. So the mere fact that there are other languages out there that everyone should be reading in, is because of Pricer. Nali Wabali then has taken it upon themselves, we've taken it upon ourselves to make sure that we've got material for people to read. So if you go into our website, which has a lot of information, extensively, it's just been revamped. So we would like to also just get some feedback if people feel it's user-friendly. We feel it's user-friendly, but obviously we would like some feedback from the people it's intended for to tell us that they can get all the information that they want.
I think it's very cute.
Thank you. It's designed to then, it's for the parents, but obviously when the children then get to interact with it at still resonates with them. Wow. Our website is www.malibali.org. Our call center, which you can also give us a missed call, we will call you back.
What? The call center takes missed calls?
So you can give us a missed call. It's 02-11-804080. 02-11-804080.
Fantastic. Lucky, thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me.
Thank you very much for calling us, and congratulations on your book.
I really love everything about it, and I'm going to be spending a lot more time on here. And it's good luck.
Thank you very much.
Before
we look forward to your signing up as a Funda leader.
All I can say I'm going to do is put it on the Mummy's WhatsApp group, okay? That's what I'm willing to commit to at this moment.
Thank you very much. That is being a Funda leader.
Putting me on the spot here. Before I let you go, what is the big vision? Where is Nalibali going to? Where does this...
Multilingualism, everybody being able to read in their own languages, reading for enjoyment, becoming a habit with the youth and the parents. As we head to Father's Day, we have events in the cities. We've got an event in Cape Town. We were working with pirates. They're reading to the children. We're getting a lot of ambassadors. We want people to understand that reading for enjoyment is not, it doesn't cost you anything. And if you do need our support as Nalibali, we are here for you. And we're going further than South Africa. We would like people to know that we've got the material they're looking for. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Jobe, thank you very much for your time.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Very much for your time, and onwards and upwards to you.
Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Cheers, bye.
I couldn't let this day go without playing this one song. I was going to play Sarafina, then I thought, actually, I'm not going to play Sarafina. I'm going to play one song that I love very much off the Sarafina soundtrack, because we gotta remember. Also because I see G-Man, the ad man, on the other side, and I know his favorite thing. I mean, it's probably going to make his day now that I'm playing R&B for him. But this is James Ingram from the Sarafina soundtrack. I heard it's going to be on TV. Watch it one more time. Watch it with your kids. It is the part of the history of this beautiful land, and have the conversation with your kids. I'm Pumi Mashego, and you have been listening to Woma.
This is CliffCentral.com.